What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to GONS. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Daniel, or Vieta, whatever you want to call me.
Okay, and Roach could not make it here today, unfortunately. Bitch had a concert to go to.
Which one? Cool.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. He's into, like, this whole underground punk thing and just doesn't even concern me. So let's just start off with the news, just to kind of make it a quick little episode. What's going on, Vieta?
Oh, you want to start with me? Okay, fine, I guess. I don't know. Which one would you prefer right now? Would you prefer Avengers news or Xbox news?
Well, look, the biggest news this week is probably Microsoft and Xbox doing the 180.
So well, if you're watching this for the gaming stuff, yeah, that's the biggest news for you.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and just start it off with that and then transition over to Marvel.
I didn't 100% read it. I literally just skimmed the damn thing. It was they changed their DRM policies in the used game Bolshevik, you know?
Right.
Which been a lot of people's, like...
Yeah, so basically everything that Sony was making fun of them for, or rather Sony's community making fun of them for, has been reversed, except for the price tag and the Kinect.
Well, Sony did make fun of them with that how to trade friends with your thing video.
Yeah, exactly.
That was just them being dicks, which supposedly wasn't planned, but still, good on Microsoft. It doesn't impact my decision at all, but, you know, again, good on them. They're actually listening.
Right.
Well, not really. They just listened to their wallets and they said, you do this, we're fucked.
Right. No, and it is a business. We have to remember that it is a business, and the purpose of a business isn't exactly to keep your customers happy, but rather to make money. And how are you going to make that money? Now, they were looking at numbers. As of June 15th, this past week, actually, the PS4 still led in terms of pre-order sales by 30K. That's 30,000 units.
About a 4-to-1.
Yeah, pretty much about a 4-to-1, which is ridiculous. So when were the policies changed?
I think yesterday or 2 days ago, but that wasn't the big thing that I noticed. That probably was a big deciding factor, but there was also the fact that GameStop literally like pulled the Xbox One off their system.
Why?
After they stopped taking pre-orders, they wouldn't take any more. And then I saw something else where they took out the SKU, which I'm not 100% sure what that stands for, but they took that out of their system.
The SKU is just the barcode, or rather the pile of number digits that they took into the system. Really? What about the people who pre-ordered theirs already?
Well, they still get theirs. Obviously, they have to fulfill that. But like that was the day before Microsoft announced their the reversal. So that probably was one of the biggest hits.
Wow.
Not just the pre-order numbers.
Well, regardless, after they did the whole reversal, pre-order numbers have been coming back up. A lot of people have been asking, though, is it too late?
I wouldn't worry about it's too late. Are they going to go back to it further down the line? Because they still can. As long as they get their customer satisfaction up and rethink it, they can easily go back to it.
Right, right. And that's, I think, probably something that a lot of people are actually worried about and still skeptical about. As far as I'm concerned, it's not too late. You still have 5 months to decide whether you want a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One. And just mind you, both systems are very similar. Both are x86 platforms. Very, very similar to a low-end PC. A low-end gaming PC, to be more specific. And really just, I'm personally making my decision on games. Granted, none of the games I actually want come out until next year.
Titanfall?
Halo and Kingdom Hearts. I'm sorry, Kingdom Hearts doesn't even come out until next, like, I don't know when, but doesn't
Between
come out next year.
Between 2015 and 2020.
Yeah, probably. Damn, that's crazy. It's been over a decade almost already, huh?
In 2 years, it'll have been 10 years.
Wow.
Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2006.
Damn. Holy crap.
Let's get the Avengers in there.
Yeah, let's hope they get some Avengers and Star Wars stuff going on in there.
Or at the very least, a lightsaber keyblade.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, that Tron world was pretty cool. But
I'm not sure how they'll
implement that with Star Wars or Marvel.
Tron world was great. Anyways, back to the Xbox Bolshevik. Sure. Well, stuff. I got to stop saying Bolshevik.
So it hasn't influenced your decision at all?
Well, not really. I think I said this last time. I got a 360 first, but then once I got the PS3, like, my mind switched to that.
Right.
So I'm just PlayStation born. That's where it, like, really came out in me. So PlayStation's, like, my way to go.
Okay.
I will get that Xbox One eventually. But if I'm hoping like hell I'm in my own place at that point, that fucker's staying in the living room.
Right.
Because, I mean, we didn't really talk about this, but a lot of those features that they showed, the side features, well, they're not side features. They're basically the main features now. The switching through channels and stuff like that actually seemed useful.
It did. And here's the thing. Like, you can tell that Sony is still targeting the PS4 for gamers, per se, But for Microsoft, now. Yeah, for now. And Microsoft is definitely targeting a much more broader audience. And we're talking people who do, like, watch TV. Like, there's achievements for watching commercials. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely not targeting the core hardcore audience. Granted, the games will still be there for those particular people. But it's a more broader audience. They're trying to compete against companies like Roku. Holy crap.
Sorry about that. Something fell off my desk.
Like, they're trying to compete against companies like Roku, Western Digital, Netgear with their streaming peripherals for the TV, Google, because they have some Google thing for a TV too that makes it smart or something like that, and Sony as well. But they're definitely broadening up their competitive market, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, they're being very ambitious. It's kind of, yeah. I don't know. I will never really call myself a fanboy. I will say I stick with Sony just because that's where my gaming preference is right now, but never a fanboy. I will talk shit to anyone that makes a mistake. In this case, I want to talk shit to everyone else that's talking shit about Microsoft, because you can't exactly, like, what's the word I want to use? You can't demonize their ambitions. No. I mean, I know everyone's saying, oh, we're not the focus anymore. Who cares? They're still making games. Good. That's their focus, but, you know, now they want everyone else.
Right. And that just shows how hungry they are. Guys, Microsoft is an incredible thing. It's an incredible company for sure, because think about it this way. It's been your operating system for, like, the past how long? Since you were born, probably, even before that? Windows and, XP. I'm sorry?
Windows XP.
Really? That's when you got on?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've had it since, like, Windows 2000. Yeah. So it's definitely been around for a very long time, and it's been nothing but great to me with Microsoft Office. And things like Windows just being able to offer me a computing experience, you know, that didn't come in at an Apple price point. And it also offered me, like, my entertainment with the Xbox and the Xbox 360 and now the Xbox One, because I know I'm going to get one. But I think people need to realize that what they were trying to do was make it more so that there would be less piracy and more money going back to the developers, because the one thing a lot of people don't know is that when you buy a used game from GameStop, the developers are not making any money from that anymore.
No, that's pure GameStop profit.
Exactly. That's pure GameStop profit. And how much are they actually paying you to trade that in?
Then, let me see. If you trade in a brand new game with the deal they got, they will give you a minimum of $30 or, like, a couple bucks off another game.
And this is assuming you bought it a week ago?
Yeah, if you buy a week ago, which then they'll sell it back for, like, $55.
Exactly. So it's, like, it's ridiculous. And so I feel like Microsoft, though they weren't really announcing it this way, they were trying to put more money back into development, because every time you would have to buy a new game, it would have to be new, and therefore some funds would go back to the creative talents behind them and the publishers as well. Though publishers are important, but they're not as important as the creative people who actually spend their time and efforts and energy making these games. Like, I'm an artist, so I can understand why they wanted to do that kind of thing, because personally, I would want to get some form of compensation for everything that sells that I made. A lot of people aren't looking at it that way, but that's okay, because that's the consumer mind. Unfortunately, the consumer drives the money, which drives the business, which unfortunately also drives the ignorance of the industry and just all of that stuff. So my two cents.
Get out of that consumer mindset and go back to the fan mindset.
Yeah. And just follow the games, you know? Ultimately, everybody wins, because there's a lot of great games coming out, you know?
Real quick, though, they never said if that use fee that would come with it, they never said if that would actually go back to the developer or not, did they?
No. Though it was from the start, assumed, though. But... Yeah, it's assumed, because Microsoft came out saying something like, we support used games completely, and we're not going to profit from that. That's going to be solely on the developer, so...
Probably... Sorry. Drinking soda. Not a good thing to do.
All right. Well, that's all I have for Microsoft.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else to say except...
Good move.
Yeah, very much. On a business side, yeah, good move.
Good move for sure.
If they go back, I hope like hell they really, really rethink it. At least like the... I'm okay with these games things, but fix the trading stuff.
Yeah.
Let us trade our games between friends, I mean. Let them borrow stuff. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but, you know... The way they had it before was really stupid.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. All right, so what about Marvel?
Oh, well, I didn't say it was Marvel, but thank you for spoiling that segue.
No, we introduced it at the beginning.
I already don't remember.
All right, Marvel.
Okay. If you've followed anything in terms of Marvel, Disney, well, specifically the contracts, a bunch of, like, the problems they've been having with the Avengers, keeping the actors that we know as the Avengers, then you know Robert Downey's contract was up with Iron Man 3. He was going through some negotiations, and I think at this point, well, I know at this point that he's officially signed on for two more movies, which is Avengers 2 and 3 as Iron Man. So we're not getting a different dude in a metal suit.
Okay, that's good. I mean, they did that with Iron Man 2 when they took out Terrence Howard and brought in Don Cheadle. But
no, Marvel, I personally thought that was for the better.
You know what? I didn't at first. And then once I saw 3, I realized, yeah, it is for the better. Because Don Cheadle's a great actor. He was just as good in Ocean's 11.
And I don't see how what's his name? Terrence Howard?
Terrence Howard.
I don't see how he will be able to do some of the deliveries for some of those jokes.
Yeah. No, and the problem with Terrence Howard, though, is that he was getting a little greedy towards the end of Iron Man 1. So he wanted more money. That's when Marvel was like, no. And that was the same problem with Robert Downey Jr. He, for example, he was the only one out of all the Avenger characters that actually did a backhand deal, that got him paid $50 million. For Avengers 1, whereas, you know, Scarlett Johansson and
pretty much everyone else just got a couple hundred thousand bucks.
No, just got a little like over 2 million. So when you take 2 million over 50 million, it's like, well, what the hell's going on? You know, like our budget alone is like half of that. And so that's why they were kind of thinking of getting rid of Robert Downey Jr. and bringing in somebody else. But then I think it was Joss Whedon Joss Whedon, right?
Yep, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, okay. So he came out and he was like, you know what? If I can't have Robert Downey Jr. as my Iron Man, I don't want to direct your Avengers. And so that's when Disney was like, oh, shit. All right. Fuck it then. We'll get Robert Downey Jr. and you make our
movie. I just call him Tony.
Yeah, that's what he is. And so that's that. I mean, I think in terms of the fan base, good move for Disney, good move for Marvel for sure, because I wasn't going to go watch Avengers if it wasn't going to be Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he was the reason why him and Scarlett were the reasons why I watched the first one and Iron Man 2 to begin with. So
come on, you know Loki was the pure reason to go see that.
Loki, I liked Loki after I watched the film.
Thor.
No, not Thor. I didn't watch
No, Thor no, after Avengers.
The Avengers.
Loki was okay with that. He was just kind of a spoiled little bitch.
Yeah, he was a bitch.
He was a false bitch.
Yeah. So what does this mean, though, for like the whole Marvel universe?
Well, the only thing I took out of it was that since Robert Downey's only going to be in Avengers 2 and 3, that means pretty much no more Iron Man movies. At least not until after 3, because otherwise they would have to replace him.
Which they would and probably would just end up rebooting awkward. The fucking Iron Man series.
I don't know. I mean, this universe is going so great for them. They're making so much money and they're pleasing fans. Why would they reboot it?
Because that's Marvel's thing right now. They're rebooting a lot of movies. Well, not rebooting, but
the movies that are being, but those movies weren't within the actual like the cinematic universe, the phases that they were doing for the Avengers and shit like that. Those were outside of it. Those are all their own separate films, the way comic books used to be before they all like decide to merge together, basically.
Right. But you know what though? We're talking about Avengers 2 doesn't come out until next year, which is already a year apart from Iron Man 3. And Avengers 3 presumably won't come out for another 4 years or 3 years from this point. So presumably around 2017. So therefore, that would be about 5 years in between Iron Man 3 and the ending of Avengers, which would, I guess, maybe be worth a fucking reboot when you consider the Spider-Man pattern.
Well, I guess, but if they have a bigger plan for Spider-Man, again, all these things are connected. If they're going to reboot Iron Man, that means they're wiping the slate clean, right?
Yeah.
Well, unless they do what they did with the Hulk when they had Edward Norton be him, and they didn't so much wipe it clean. He was already the Hulk. They established that, and that was it.
Yeah.
Then they just went on their own thing from there. Like, everything's already set up. Let's not do another origin story. Let's just go do another whatever the hell story.
Let's just merge universes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the point where the Hulk merged universes in Incredible Hulk, which we all know was the second Hulk movie to come out, which the first one sucked dog. Sucked dogs.
The first one had the guy named Lou, right, as the Hulk?
Lou? What the hell?
Lou Ferrigno? I don't know his last
name. No. That's the old Hulks, dude. I'm talking about, like, Ang Lee's Hulk before the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
I mean, Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk, but, you know, I don't care about that. I've tried watching that before. No, can't.
Yeah.
But, again, that's the only way I see them doing a rebooted Iron Man. It's not technically a reboot so much as a continuation with a different actor.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, unless if they do something like... we were just talking about him yesterday, and I already forgot his name. The fucking director to Batman.
Christopher Nolan.
Thank you. Unless if they do something like Christopher Nolan where they introduce... I'm sorry, not introduce, but kind of have people guessing at the end of the next movie where somebody takes, you know, over the Iron Man suit or something like that. I don't know, like they did with Dark Knight Rises when Robin went to the Batcave type of thing.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's ever like actually swapped suits, though, because in the Batman comics, Dick Grayson, even though this guy was just named Robin, Dick Grayson was never in the movies, he legitimately took over as Batman.
Yeah.
All right. That. There you go. For like a decent 2 or 3 years when Batman, when Bruce died.
Shit.
Again, they haven't done that in comics. Unless they do like a War Machine movie or something.
You think they would do a spinoff like that, though?
No. I mean, that comic's never been...
I don't think Marvel wants to spend that money. Or, I'm sorry, Disney wants to spend that kind of money right now.
Disney's letting them do their own shit. You can just keep calling
Marvel. I don't think Marvel would want to spend that kind of money, you know, right now with Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor 2, Captain America 2, Avengers 2 all being planned and stuff.
By the way, you want to hear something weird?
Sure.
While we're on the subject of Disney and Marvel?
Sure.
You know that super popular show they have called Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah.
They're going to have the Avengers on there. Some of the Avengers.
Yeah, I saw a preview for that, I think it was. But you know what? There was also and there was a show that they do, like a live-action show. And this has nothing to do with Marvel. But they they had Star Wars characters on it. And it was kind of – oh, so that's what they're doing with their licenses, huh? I don't know if you can see. I'm going to show you the picture here real quick. I don't know if you can actually see that, but
No, not really, but I see R2-D2 and the other dude, but
and C-3PO, yeah, on like a Disney show, and well, you know what? As long as we're not getting, you know, any of the Disney stars in the Avenger suits or like I don't know any live performances with like Wolverine and like a boy band or something like that, we're good.
We'll see. Well, they'll come out dressed up like Wolverine, but they won't have Wolverine either. By the way. On the subject of Disney, this was something I saw rumored a while ago, but episode 7 was supposed to be extended, had two extended universe characters, which if you know Star Wars, you know what the extended universe is everything outside of the movies basically, but still considered canon. But it was going to revolve around Luke training Han and Leia's son and daughter to be like, this is weird, the greatest Jedis in the world, even though it's a galaxy, but whatever. So the son, I don't remember his name. Eventually falls to the dark side because he has a problem of what is right and wrong. So what he does, he thinks is right, and he ends up becoming Darth Cadus. I don't know if you saw any of that yet.
No, I haven't seen any of that at all.
Yeah, that sounds so interesting. But those two characters, the Solo kids, were from the comic books, I think back in the 80s. I haven't really read through it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what they do. Going back to Marvel, though, are you at all excited for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Kind of. I mean, I don't have any exposure with any of these characters, except for, like, the first 3 or 4 issues I read of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I guess 3 issues, because you count 0, right? And then Rocket Raccoon in
Marvel
NBC.
Capcom. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so. My only experience with the character, too, is just Rocket Raccoon from Marvel vs. Capcom. Other than that, I don't know any of those characters. At all.
I did see an announcement, though, that you know who John C. Reilly is?
No.
He's the... Have you seen Step Brothers?
Parts. Not the whole thing.
You know the guy with curly hair who's not Will Ferrell?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be in the movie. He's going to be... I forgot the dude's name, but he's the leader of the Nova Corps, which I'm assuming you don't know who those are.
Well, I know who Nova is. I don't know who
Nova Corps. He's part of the Nova Corps, which is like a group of people all that go by Nova. So he's going to be the leader, and he's going to be in that movie.
Well, so. I mean, if he can do something like that, more power to him, but...
He can do a lot. Anyways, He can do it, I guess. So I don't have too much exposure with them, so it'll just be a brand new experience for me.
Me too, go ahead.
Marvel does have 2 unannounced projects right now for 2015 and 16, or 14 and 16. One of them is supposed, hopefully, going to be a Doctor Strange movie.
You think so?
I know Kevin Feige, I don't know how to pronounce his name, wants a Doctor Strange movie. And I know a lot of fans probably want one. God knows I want one. Doctor Strange is pretty freaking awesome to me for some reason, even though I don't, again, not that much exposure with him besides what I've seen in that one animated movie. But and it might be similar to that movie too, because supposedly the main villain that's rumored is going to be Dormammu.
Really?
Yeah, Dormammu and this other dude who trained alongside Doctor Strange named Baron something or other. I'm sorry, my mind's all over the place.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, just Dormammu himself.
Yeah, only thing that's not disappointing. I would say skeptical because of the way they did the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. Because they actually, if they had him do, had the Nine Rings, had him do magic and all that good stuff.
Ten Rings,
thank you. Then I would have been less skeptical depending on how they did him. You know, with the whole magic thing for Doctor Strange.
Yeah. No, actually, when Iron Man 3 came out, a lot of people were bitching about the inaccuracies of the comic book. And something I just want to point out, as a fan and an avid viewer now of Marvel movies, more or less, I think that people, and this just goes out to the comic book community in general, though it probably won't happen, but I feel like that's a community that really needs to be more open-minded. Because, honestly, I love how the inaccuracies actually make for a new story, though similar to the comic book, but just still different. Because think about it this way. If a movie was exactly the same thing as the comic book, wouldn't you already know what's going to happen?
Not really, because it could take liberties with the way certain sequences happen.
Exactly, which is where the differences come to play. So, I mean, in a way, I feel like that's a community, and this goes for a lot of people. People who read books and then watch movies, and things like that. I feel like they really just should be more open-minded about how movies are made. For example, even myself, I've been guilty of this sometimes. The reason why I hated the Christopher Nolan Batman so much was because it really didn't feel like a Gotham City, but rather just New York. I know that New York is
Chicago.
Chicago or whatever it is. It didn't feel like Gotham City from the comic books, and that's something that I always had against it. And that's kind of what everybody's complaining about the new Superman movie too, is that it feels too dark for Superman, and you can feel the Christopher Nolan coming out of that film.
I don't know, I haven't heard many complaints for that movie.
Really?
I mean, the one complaint I told you was just that one complaint, but still. I hear more people praising it, but again, it's mostly my problem with the director. I don't care for him.
Right. Who's the director?
Zack Snyder. I just have not liked his previous movies.
What else did he do? He did 300, right?
He did 300, Watchmen, and Sucker Punch are the ones that immediately popped in my head, and I didn't like any of those.
I liked, well, to an extent, I liked the Watchmen. I felt like it could have used a little less dialogue and a little more...
That's the comic book, dude.
Yeah, I know.
For the most part, he went scene for scene from the comic, with like maybe one exception, I think, but I can't. That's not popping in my head right now.
Yeah. I know it's the comic, but I'm just saying, I feel like, I don't know, because that was my first exposure to The Watchmen. I know that that makes me sound very small.
You just lost all your credibility.
That's cool. I don't care. I'm more of a gamer anyway, not a comic book reader as it is. But I just feel like, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Watchmen.
What about it?
Something about how you feel about it. About that being your first exposure to Watchmen.
Yeah, my first exposure to Watchmen, and I liked it. For what it was, I liked it. And it got me introduced to the Minutemen comic book that actually just came out, I believe, last year.
Before Watchmen, yeah.
Yeah, before Watchmen. I read that. That was really good, too. But I haven't seen Sucker Punch because I haven't cared to see Sucker Punch. You know, I only was interested in seeing the movie because of the girls in the miniskirts, which I had Google imaged anyway. And that was my dose. And then I saw 300, but I wasn't too happy with it. I wasn't too depressed by it. I was just
depressed.
Whatever about it.
You're gonna get depressed by that movie.
I mean, I wasn't sad or mad or happy or whatever.
I don't like all that slow-mo shit he does, dude.
Yeah.
I like maybe pause it, if it's in a DVD or something. Maybe I'll pause it or rewind just to see what the fuck happened. But I still want to see all the action go in like full flowing motion.
Yeah.
That slow motion just immediately pulls me out of it, which I still haven't seen Man of Steel. I want to go see it. I really do. But if he does that in that movie, I'm just going to be disappointed.
I'm not sure, man. Man of Steel has been getting a lot of positivity, a lot of positive reviews coming out of all the reviewers. But I've still, like, some people who are more credible to me, not in terms of rap sheet, but just in terms of connections to them, have really just came out like, it feels like a dark Superman. That's not what Superman's supposed to feel like. So
they need to go read more comics.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it because I'm just not a Superman fan at all anyway.
Well, I wasn't either, but Superman's got interesting potential. Man, if it's a dark, if he's the only thing I never liked about Superman, same thing I never liked about Captain America, is that they're both fucking Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
I mean, I know Batman technically is a Boy Scout, but at least he'll break people's legs.
Yeah, no, he really will. He'll knock people out too. You know, he just won't kill unless he has to. I think.
Nope, he will never kill ever. Never There's kill. Always a choice.
Yeah, he'll never
to
kill.
To take the line from Arkham City. Right. Anyway, yeah. I'll still go see Man of Steel. I need to. That's one of several movies I gotta go see.
Yeah. So what else, man? What else do we want to talk about?
I don't know. Let me see. Well, we're still on the subject of Superman and comics. You said that Superman's not essentially a dark character.
Right, or at least I feel like he's not a dark character.
You need to read some of the Elseworlds stuff that they got, dude. DC has this. It's essentially that, like, what if, because they have the multiverse, so different Earths, 52 different Earths, 52 different scenarios for each of these heroes and whatnot. One of the there was a sale on Comixology, I think it's still going on, for the release of Man of Steel, which is a bunch of Superman comics for like 99 cents, right? So I decided to pick up Red Sun, and that is a good example of a very great dark Superman comic book, which is essentially what if Superman had landed in Russia during the Cold War instead of landing in America? Which is that just ended up being super great, which I ran through that in one go, and it was – I bought all three issues, and it was so cool.
That idea alone just sounds interesting. Like, you just mentioned Superman being a bit of a Boy Scout, and now all of a sudden he's basically Hitler. You know,
well, no. He's Stalin.
Exactly, but okay. Oh, yeah, okay, Stalin. But, I mean, I don't know my historical figures, you know. But
I only know that because they mention him.
Well, see, you didn't even know that prior to reading the comic book.
I don't know. I get all my history knowledge from comics and TV and stuff.
You see?
School never taught me anything.
Yeah, no, it really didn't. Fucking LAUSD. Cum cookies and all that.
That's gross, dude.
Huh?
That's gross. Anyways, yeah.
It is gross, but it is what it is. Let's see.
There are a lot more Elseworlds tales. There's one I want to read that I haven't found yet. It's probably on Comixology. I haven't checked it out, but it's basically a what if... again, it's Superman's Elseworlds seemed to land with a what if he landed here instead of here? This one was one of the what if he landed in Gotham and got adopted by the Waynes.
What the hell?
He ends up becoming Batman, but with Superman powers. It sounds weird, but it's still basically a Superman book.
It sounds actually kind of super mega ultra awesome times like three. Because Batman's a cool character that everybody loves, and Superman's another cool character that everybody loves, with the exception of me, of course.
Superman's a god.
Yeah, allergic to green rocks. Just throw fucking green rocks at him, and he'll die.
I was looking at a chat somewhere, and someone said, "What can Superman not do? He can't eat kryptonite."
Well, that's the one true thing. He can't eat kryptonite. He can't touch kryptonite. He can't smell kryptonite. Man, I just pointed out like 3-4 things that he can't do.
Yep, and he still beats Metallo every time, which if you don't know Metallo, he's powered by kryptonite.
What?
Still kicks his ass, dude.
That's fucked up.
And he beat the kryptonite, man.
That's fucked up. I actually recently saw a movie. It was on Netflix. I forgot what it was called. But it was Justice League Doom, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, it's based on the Tower of Babel storyline in the comics, which is basically someone steals Batman's plans to deal with the Justice League.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then it was crazy how each of the villains were taking out each of their heroes, and I don't know, it was just a good movie. Everybody
I like that movie, but there's one thing that semi-disappointed me is that I figured out how to take out the Green Lantern as the whole plan was going on. Like, I learned it so quickly. I was sad.
Yeah.
Fucking Batman using Scarecrow like that.
How do you feel about what I'm Turtle. Presuming to be... Turtle, come on. How do you feel about what I'm presuming that will be a very, very rushed Justice League film next year? I'm sorry, in 2 years.
I don't know. I honestly had no real hope for the Justice League movie to begin with, because they never... The only thing Marvel did best with the Avengers was setting up prior to it so they can just jump right into the movie for the Avengers. They're probably going to try to do that. Again, I still haven't seen Man of Steel, which is where it starts, because they already said the Batman from Nolan isn't going to be in it. It's a different universe Batman. So they're going to have to restart Batman from the beginning.
Another Batman reboot?
Technically, it's a different universe, right? So if they're going to have Batman in the Justice League, which he was still one of the rumored characters, they'd have to redo him somehow. Or like maybe he's already there and he researched him, and that could be the beginning. He researched everyone that's in the Justice League, so that's how it starts. That's again, because everyone knows Batman, right? I mean, there's no point to doing him the origin. But
everybody knows. It's just a bummer. Like, you can tell what DC's moneymaker is in terms of movies, and you can tell where Marvel is in terms of, you know, using their money, make them even more money type of thing.
Yeah. I know they are supposedly rebooting Green Lantern.
I hope so, because that first one was shitty.
Oh, yeah, it was garbage.
Even though I still bought it on Blu-ray.
You suck. Because he's part of the
rumor. I wanted to see it in HD.
I'm worried about the two leaguers that they have the most trouble doing anything with, and that's Wonder Woman and The Flash. Because Wonder Woman was supposed to have a TV show that never happened.
Yeah.
And The Flash just never had anything.
The Flash had a TV show.
Okay, he had a TV show, but it was a live-action weird
TV show.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure what they're gonna do with that either, man. But let's just hope. I mean, I do enjoy DC comics more than I do Marvel comics. But in terms of films, for me personally, and this is just my opinion, Marvel has always been able to tear DC down, like, no matter what.
I don't know. I've been on the fence about DC versus Marvel comics.
Okay.
Again, I'm talking comics because Marvel side's getting better, much better in terms of the comics, but I still like DC's current Bolshevik. Stop saying Bolshevik. Anyways, on the movie front, I don't know. I like The Dark Knight a lot. Again, Green Lantern was a giant flop, but still.
Yeah. I felt like Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yep.
I felt like he had potential to be a Hal Jordan and a Green Lantern because he did have that cocky attitude. And he did play it off well. But I feel like just in terms of special effects and in terms of just concepts, like, I feel like that could have been more of a target in terms of budget rather than, you know, just investing in fucking Carol, because that girl is beautiful.
Wow, really? That whole movie was just garbage. Fuck the CG shoot. The CG suit was a big mistake.
The
CG mask was a mistake. The script was a mistake. Parallax was a mistake.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, even Parallax was a mistake.
The whole movie was basically one giant fucked up mistake. Ryan Reynolds, I could easily see as a Hal Jordan. I'm not going to lie. He's a better actor than most people think. Even though he is probably gay, like Family Guy says.
But, it doesn't matter. I mean,
that's because this dude's in chick flicks.
People still love him.
That's true. He's everyone's favorite gay guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, he could have been a much better Hal Jordan, but that script was pure garbage.
Right. So it's not so much Ryan's fault, but rather the writer's fault.
The writers, the director, because some of the acting performances were whatever. And, again, CG, dude. The suit wasn't necessary. Like, that was an extra, like, $2 million that was wasted.
Yeah.
Oa looked great. Cool suit, Oa was the best special effect.
Which one's Oa?
Oa, the Green Lantern planet.
Oh, yeah. Because that place looked gorgeous.
The Guardians were okay. Nice. Parallax, they got completely wrong. Because, you know, he wasn't a fucking Guardian. He was the entity of fear.
Right. Right. He's the yellow freaking light.
Pretty much. Fucking Sinestro getting the ring at the end of that Easter egg was fucking retarded. That was so undeserved. Whoever wrote that in needs to get fucking socked across the face as hard as possible.
Yeah. That
pissed me off so hard.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get off of Green Lantern because we can spend way too much on hate.
Okay. What else is there, though?
Oh, I was going to ask you. Did you watch that leaked Watch Dogs multiplayer video, right? That was something else we could have done on news that I forgot about. But that looked weird.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, Watch Dogs alone looks like a good game. A multiplayer aspect to it doesn't exactly excite me.
Well, it wasn't. It was barely even a multiplayer. The only thing I didn't get from it was this a multiplayer mode, or was this within the single player where you can interact with someone else's worlds? Not like through that tablet thing that they showed at E3, which is a popular trend now. But is they're gonna look like a random NPC for us in the game? Or is this like a full on mode? I need that explained.
Okay, so is it gonna look like? Is it gonna play? Well, not play. I don't know what it's gonna play like, but. Is it kind of like that Assassin's Creed multiplayer mode where they hide in like the group of people and you can't
kind of
an assassin?
But it looks like that, but it looks like they're changing it up too, where like if you're the guy looking for someone, you're trying not to get seen. If you get seen, you got to run. Whereas if you're the hacked, you're going to hunt them down and try and kill them. Although it looks like you still get points for letting them escape.
I'm not sure, man. It sounds interesting. I hope they can implement it well.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just not that big of a fan of the multiplayer for games that don't need it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, pretty much the entire Assassin's Creed franchise, even though that multiplayer is admittedly pretty fun. Granted, I only played the Brotherhood multiplayer.
We'll see.
I hope that does not bring Watch Dogs down, because that game looks fucking great.
I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of people will say that a multiplayer can bring a game down, but I feel like a multiplayer should not bring a game down in terms of its single player, granted that most games are reviewed based on the single player, unless if it's known for its multiplayer, like something like Halo or Call of Duty, obviously. But we'll see. That's all we can really say, man. We'll see. You know, we'll see. Just like with my other little news, now that we're back on the subject of fucking video games, there were some guys, very few people actually, who found a leaked code for Steam's new build, which contained codes for like lending, sharing, borrowing type of things, and which could possibly imply that Steam sometime in the future will allow you to either share or let somebody borrow your games.
Which wouldn't... I mean, it's not unfeasible. I mean, they have that for, like, the have you ever used a Kindle?
No.
Because they had it for there. Well, if you have it there, I guess. I don't know. But you can lend a book to someone. It's just, like, it's basically a time trial for them. You can play it for 10 days straight or read the book for 10 days straight in that case. If they do it like that, I totally see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is just a little leaked picture that everybody was seeing and talking about on a... very, very certain underground sites. I actually heard about it through a tech site. I'm not even going to bother talking about them. But, it intrigues me as well, because we were just talking about, like, everybody's been on this whole now bringing Steam as a competitor against Xbox Live and PSN, and how, you know, for them, sharing games has already been, like, not there. So it's very interesting to see now that these things are getting leaked where it might be possible in the future to share a game or something like that. And I think it would be really cool, because what that means is, if it's actually true, I can have a friend, I don't know, like across the other side of the world, and they can borrow one of my games. And it just all depends on how they implement it. And like, is it going to be timed, and timed for how long? Or, you know, does that mean like you don't get to play it for the amount of time that your person, like whoever you let borrow, has it or something like that? I don't know.
That's how the Kindle one works. If you let someone borrow it, you're locked away from that book until their time period is up. If it's I wouldn't mind it.
I wouldn't mind it either. I mean, I really wouldn't mind it at all.
Especially if I beat the game or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. I'm just saying, like, do you think this is, if it's true, do you think it would be more of a positive thing for Steam, or?
Oh, of course it's going to be a positive. I mean, letting people swap their games, and I don't have many Steam friends, so I'm probably not going to let anyone borrow my games anyways, right. But like, and to those that do, it's like, oh, have you tried this game out? Check it out. It's on sale right now, and this is like a free, basically, demo when the game probably doesn't have a demo.
Right.
So that's just going to encourage more sales.
Yeah.
My voice cracked right there.
let's hope that it's real. I mean, you know, because that would be a really cool thing. It really would. And that would kind of spark, but at the same time, I feel like it would spark flame wars, man. I feel like it would be like, if Microsoft decides to go back to their policies with the Xbox One prior to 180, I feel like everybody's just going to be shooting at them again. Like, well, Steam does this and Steam does that, you know, and again.
Steam is already the PC gamer's holy grail, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying that a lot, but Yeah, I don't know. The Steam thing, it's a good thing if it's real, if it ends up being exactly as we're describing, or if they decide to do something different with it, we'll see. I gotta wait till Valve says something.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the only thing found in the code, though. Didn't they also find Half-Life 3 and Left 4 Dead 3?
That was a different thing. That wasn't a code for the build in terms of the next Steam update. That was something else.
Well, then it's still a rumor.
Yeah, it's still a rumor, but there's what is it? Rumors for Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3, and the Source 2 engine.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't take any Half-Life 3 rumors seriously because that's been rumored for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I know it's not 10 years, but it feels like it's been 10 years. And then Left 4 Dead 3, I don't know. At least they waited longer than they did Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
Well, you know what? I hope that they make something new out of it, because all Left 4 Dead 2 was Left 4 Dead 1 with a new color palette on the characters. That was it.
Oh, man, you missed so much.
I mean, okay. All right, hold up. Let me backtrack a little bit. Walking witches.
What the fuck's a lich?
Witch.
Oh, witches. No, still more. I mean, they had the jockeys. They had the chargers. They still had all the old fucking zombies. They had the bile spewer thing. They have the boomer bile as a new grenade type that lets you use the zombies against other zombies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they had little things. And sure, they might have added like one or two enemies. But it still was DLC worthy.
They added four new enemies.
Well, it was still DLC worthy. Like,
why that would have been too much for DLC. Because, I mean, that was basically PC and Xbox, right? I don't remember coming out to PS3.
No, I don't.
Because that was when Valve hated PS3 at the time.
Yeah.
But all that probably would have been too much. Because Microsoft still has that like 2 gig thing, right? Where if it's more than that, then you need to go fucking file for something or something or other. But if the update is too big, they need to do a separate game.
No, not exactly, because I'm not actually sure how they differentiate DLC from like actual on-demand games, because I actually just downloaded Fable 3 because they had it for free for Xbox Live Gold people, and that thing was like almost 6 gigs, huge, and like it just downloaded directly to my hard drive.
Yeah, but that would be on games on demand. That's a full-on game. That's not a DLC thing.
Exactly. So I feel like, why couldn't they have just like offered it as a Left 4 Dead expansion pack and just charged, you know, less than 60 for it, maybe 30, but be able to like update it, that, or just give us the option from the Left 4 Dead 1 menu to play Left 4 Dead 2 or whatever they were going to call it.
I don't know. In case someone missed out on Left 4 Dead 2 or Left 4 Dead 1.
But it Halo ODST and Gears of War Judgment, I feel like those two games, campaign worthy alone, single player mode alone, sorry, I'm choking on my words right now. I feel like those two games alone were like totally DLC worthy and totally not worth the $60.
Well, I know the ending of Judgment, which has you play a fucking hidden chapter from Gears of War 3, basically that part could have been DLC.
Yeah.
But again, Judgment and ODST both basically had bigger maps, right? For the single player, they had different areas that you never really went to.
Yeah.
Is my assumption. That all takes a lot of money and time. As far as DLC, they probably wouldn't able to get the money back, so they would have had to do a full-on release.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, it makes sense in terms of budget, but I just feel like as a consumer, you know, I would have preferred a cheaper version of it, because it's not... Personally, for me, as a fan of both franchises, it's not worth $60 to me. Neither one of those, Judgment nor ODST, and I have them both, and I played them both, and it's just not worth $60 to me.
You should have waited.
I didn't want to. We're talking about exclusives here. I need fire.
You need fire, okay.
I need ammo.
I guess my Xbox 360 does need that ammo, right, since they have no more exclusives.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Xbox One's going to have some.
Xbox One's going to have a couple. I'm personally excited for this Insomniac game that actually...
Sunset Overdrive.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It looks like Brink meets, I don't know, fucking
Ratchet
Team Fortress 2 or something like that. Yeah, sure. Ratchet and Clank, I guess.
That's because that's Insomniac's game. Because the only thing Insomniac... I mean, they do good humor, but I think their best thing that they're known for is... fucking insane weaponry. Man, I want to play Ratchet and Clank now.
They were actually talking to, I don't know where I read this, but I know that I read it somewhere, where one of the guns in Sunset Overdrive, it's shooting vinyl records rather than like bullets.
Yeah, they showed that. Records. They showed that in the trailer. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That might be like something I might want to get before I actually get Forza 5. Might
that's go the change one thing
my pre-order.
That's the one thing I love about Insomniac games is that the games are stupid fun.
Yeah.
I think the only exception right now might be Fuse. I have not heard too many good things about that game.
Fuse?
Well, it's not that they haven't been good things. It's just that they've been disappointing because like you hold Insomniac to a high standard, then this game comes out and compared to its first E3 trailer that they showed, which was Overwatch. I don't know if you saw that, but the art style from that to Fuse sucked. Because Fuse went for a more realistic style, whereas Overwatch had more of a Sunset Overdrive feel to it, / Team Fortress.
Okay. Question for you. Fuse, was that supposed to be the Halo for the Sony people?
No. That was Insomniac's first multi-release. Halo for the PS3 people was Killzone.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the humanoid aliens very much, but...
Yeah. Because that's what confused me.
I don't know. They might have been humans that colonized a different world and ended up like having to adapt to that planet and ended up being evil.
You know what game I'm thinking about? I think it was called Haze. And on the cover, it had a guy with an orange mask and it was broken, but it was like a helmet.
It was a yellow mask, but yes, it's Haze.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
No, Fuse is something else different. It's a four-player co-op. That's it. It's four-player co-op, take down this organization with this weird-ass element that we don't know too much about, called Fuse. Okay.
All right. Well.
Boring story. Boring-ass concept that they changed it to. The reason that they changed it was because of fucking, what's that process called? Something testing. Focus testing.
Focus testing?
Yeah, what's they that? Said it's when they get a bunch of random-ass people to look at this game and say, so what do you think about it? And then they write it down and make changes based on that.
Okay. All right. No, that makes... Yeah. It's a psychology term, too. I just needed to juggle my memory a little bit. Focus testing.
That made the game suck.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So Insomniac, it looks like this Sunset Overdrive thing looks like it's going back to their roots of being crazy asses.
And that excites me. That does excite me because a lot of developers nowadays, in terms of big exclusive releases, they don't take many risks anymore. And that's why a lot of indie games are a lot more fun because they take those risks because they don't have, you know, much to lose. And I'm not trying to say that in like a negatively connotated way, but I'm just saying that in terms of the truth.
Have you seen the movie Indie Game?
I have.
Okay.
I have that.
If any listener has not seen that, go watch that. It's on Netflix, and it's such a great watch.
It's definitely a good watch in terms of getting your understanding for indie development and why it's like a big thing and why it's important.
Also, saying the only reason I brought that up is because you say they don't have much to lose. They have a lot. It looks like they have so much more to lose. It's not about like the money that they'll lose so much as their pride and all that good shit.
Yeah. No, they have a lot to lose in terms of that, in terms of their pride and stuff. But in terms of like
and their sanity
and stuff like that, yeah. Well, you're just that's Phil Fish, man.
Fez. I wasn't thinking of Phil Fish, dude. I was thinking of a Team Meat, dude, because one of them was losing so much sleep.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But they ultimately, he ended up. One of them ended up buying them. Okay, I'm not gonna say anymore because that's actually spoilers. So go ahead and watch that. What is it called? Indie game.
Indie game. The movie.
Indie game.
Which is a documentary.
Yeah, watch that. It's a good movie. So I think that's about it for this episode. Vieta, anything else you want to add?
Go watch Death Battle.
The hell is that?
I sent you that link on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch that still. I have to go make a delivery real quick, and then I'll watch that when I get home. I have to pack, too, so I'll watch it during. But, yeah, that was it. That's it for this episode, guys. Thank you all for joining us. Really a big thank you to everybody out there listening to us for these past, 40-some minutes now. Give us a like on the Facebook page. Was it?
We had our 30-minute goal, but we went 40.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it's not over an hour, right? So give us a like on the Facebook page, facebook.com/geekoutandshiz. Twitter, follow us on Twitter at geekoutandshiz as well. YouTube, same thing. With that said, guys, thank you.
Bye.